No, it's God's show. And I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. And once again, we are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, and our youth pastor, Glenn Roundsville, our musical director, Dave Valerio, and there will be several other people speaking as well, and we will introduce them as we go. If you are a visitor today, we hope you will be with us often. And Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
The Lord is our strength and our song. He has become our salvation. He is our God, and we will praise him, our Father's God, and we will exalt him. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide us to your holy dwelling. We gather now to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Today we will be reminded of the extent of your power and glory. At times you come to us as a friend, comforter, and with a still small voice. But Lord, we know that your strength exceeds our imagination and that you are able to overcome obstacles that seem insurmountable. You can crush our fears, heal our hearts, restore relationships, remove burdens as well as destroy evil in this world. We pray that you do all those things, even as we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. I do have several announcements to make this morning. First of all, I wanted to let you know that today's event that we had entitled Confused About All Lives Matter has been rescheduled to two Sundays from now, Sunday, September 27th at 2 p.m. There was a forecast of rain, so that's one of the reasons we changed it. We hope you'll still plan to join us out on the church lawn, and we invite you to RSVP on Facebook. There is a link that was sent to you by Kathy in the invitation to worship this week, or you can just send an email to the church office so that we can try to keep an accurate count for planning purposes. So we'll be gathering out on the lawn. It's a discussion about race in America and the current civil rights movement. It's co-hosted by Eric Newby and Cheryl Peterson, and they will each share their own stories as they relate to Black Lives Matter before inviting others to join the conversation. You will have the opportunity to ask questions in a respectful atmosphere and reflect collectively on how our faith can guide us in taking steps towards healing racial injustices in our communities, state, and country. This event is free and open to all. Attendees are encouraged to bring their own chairs and refreshments. We will be required to wear masks and practice social distancing. There are copies of the Scripture Union booklets entitled Encounter with God available outside the church office. It's a guide that has a daily scripture reading and a meditation. And some of the days lately have been dealing with meeting God in the midst of COVID-19. They are free. If you cannot make it to the office, call us on a Tuesday or Thursday and we will get one delivered to you. And Sunday school is scheduled to begin next Sunday, September 20th. So parents will be notified via email. It's an exciting new virtual Sunday school curriculum that we're going to be trying out. And at this time, I'd like to have a word from the head of the CE committee, which is Sherilyn Hepburn, about that. So Sherilyn.
Good morning, everyone. As Reverend Carroll said, Sunday school will be kicking off next Sunday. We're having a virtual kickoff event gathering at 9:15 a.m. And this will be an opportunity for parents and kids to hear a little bit about how the new virtual Sunday school is going to work. And then classes will begin the following week on September 27th. And we're going to continue with the three classes we've previously had, the preschool, elementary, and the tween classes. Information on the new virtual Sunday school and the registration form is available on the church website. It also was emailed to families in the church. But if you're interested or know of any family who may be interested in joining us for the kickoff or Sunday school classes, you can direct them to the church website under the Sunday school section. All the information is there and they can register right online. And we are asking the families to register their children so we know, one, who will be joining us and we can assign them to the appropriate class, but also to gather contact information so that we can send out link and login information for the different Zoom classes. So we're really excited for Sunday school to be starting and hope the kids are gonna enjoy the new format and curriculum that we have for them. So if anyone has any questions regarding Sunday school, you can always feel free to reach out to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherilyn. I just got a notice on the chat that the way to respond to the event for Sunday the 27th is there. The link is there in the chat. So if you would like to, if you're on your computer, you'll be able to see that. If you're not, you won't, but it is there right now. Thank you very much. And I'm going to ask Martha McCatton now for our mission moment.
Good morning. We have several things going on locally right now. We're still collecting for the supply sacks for Betty Poirier's program. This is for children in foster care who usually or many times come with nothing but the clothes on their backs. They need clothing, personal items, small toys, anything that a child would need. One of the things that Betty Poirier spoke about when she talked to the Women's Christian Fellowship is that these kids don't ever get logo shirts and sports sure, it's those kinds of things. So that's another thing that it's an idea, if you want. We've already collected several things. We're going to bring them up in one fell swoop. There's a box in the hall. And so please bring your things in. I emailed Betty and she said the end of the month, but she didn't seem really firm about the date. So I think if we have things all ready by next weekend, we can bring them up. Also, yesterday I reached out to Pam Turallo about food and friends, and she had some really eye-opening statistics. She said they're serving about 170 meals grab and go every day, 6 days a week. She said prior to this, the lowest amount they served was usually about 30, and the highest was 50 or 60, and now it's 170 a day. They have done over 20,000 grab and go meals since the beginning since March. She said what they need is actually mostly they need cash because they're buying meats, they're buying vegetables. She said they also need individual fruit cups, individually wrapped, juice boxes, and water. She said they're going through a lot of water. Also, she said sometimes they'll have individually wrapped prepackaged desserts. That's a bonus. They'll use those too. But mostly it is cash. If you'd like to donate to her, send it to the church, make the check out to the church, and write food and friends in the memo line. And we'll see that it gets there. Also, you're free to do Lenore's pantry either in the hall or at the town hall. So there's a lot of need, there's a lot of hunger, and this is our chance to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Food security is going to be coming worse and worse, I'm sure. So thank you for that. Mr. Dave, would you like to introduce the song we're going to sing together?
Yes, I would. So we're going to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful. And it was either sent out as an email with the attachment as the invite to this service, or you can also find it in the chat area on your Zoom service if you're on your computer. And it's three verses. We'll sing all three. And just notice that the refrain goes in between each verse. You continue to sing. So let's all join together and sing All Things Bright and Beautiful.
All things wise and wonderful, the Lord God.
Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that. I always love that particular hymn. To help us in our planning for the future of the church, we're looking for folks who are willing to share their story that led them to choose Central Congregational Church to be their church. So if you'd be willing to share your story, please call the church office or email me or Wayne. And Amy Riendo has volunteered for today. So Amy, thank you for being willing to do this.
You're welcome. Good morning, everybody. I hope everyone's doing well. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my personal story, our family's personal story about joining Central Congregational. My husband is Pete, and we have three kids. Juliet is 16, Emily is almost 14, and Michael just turned 11. And I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. I work in the emergency department in Hasbro in Providence, Children's Hospital, and my husband is in sales. We have two dogs, so we have a very busy family. Pete and I first started looking for a church when we were newly married and expecting our first child. We looked around the area and were really attracted to Central Congregational and felt that it was a great church to raise our family in and to start and to grow with our family that we were hoping to have. We found that the church was very welcoming. Everyone was very friendly. We liked that it was traditional, but yet it was also, I don't know what the word is, but more kind of up-to-date or modern. We were both confirmed Catholic, and we were just looking for something different. And we found that in Central Congregational. As we started off with our family, we were very much involved in the smaller children things, such as the daycare or the babysitting that happened down in the lower part of the church. We were always there every weekend. Someone was in there babysitting, watching all the little kids. We were very involved in the Sunday school through the years as we had our other children. And that was really important to us. Religious education for our kids is important to us. Religious education for ourselves, whether it was through just coming to church on Sundays or different programs the church offered. And then again, just the sense of community. We've made lots of friends throughout the years through the church, and we really enjoyed and continue to enjoy the events that they offer. Particularly, we really like the dinners, Christmas time, the Christmas pageants when we did that. The kids really enjoyed the shopping when they were younger for the presents for their families, our friends, and our family members. So as our kids have gotten older, it gets challenging in different ways. And so our kids are very active and are involved in a lot of activities. I also work off shifts and weekends. So there are a lot of times when we come as, you know, one parent and any combination of our children. And there are times when we aren't able to come. But what keeps us coming and being dedicated to Central Congregational Church is this big sense of community and family that we have. There are times when we've gotten to church and it's been a very stressful morning trying to get everybody ready, and we might not be in the greatest mood, but the moment I get there and when I leave, I feel inspired and I feel happy, and I'm very glad that I've come. So that's because of everyone there. So as our kids have gotten older, we're not as involved in the Sunday school or the younger children events, but continuing to be involved in the church is very important to us. I'm a biracial woman, and racial, everything that's been going on in terms of the racial and social injustices, economic and health disparities, also being a nurse, are very important to me and have been. My parents got married in 1968 in Little Rock, Arkansas. They had to change the law to get married. They went to get married and were denied, and had to have the law changed, and they did so. So that is very important to me. My parents and all of the experiences that they had are very important to me. So my husband's family is also very diverse, and so we are teaching our children to be very accepting of everyone, and we are happy to continue to be a part of the church and the church's role in trying to shed light on to all the struggles that are continuing to go on. And we look forward to being a part of that as well and expanding our church community.
Thank you, Amy. Well said. I can't believe Juliet is 16. My goodness.
Yes, me either.
Thank you for that. That's very touching.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So this is the time we share our celebrations. I'm happy to say that Ed Dyer and his wife have reunited at home after a long period of hospitalizations for both. And Ed is with us today, which is good news. Nancy, Kathy Trowbridge's mother, has made it home as well after her hip surgery. Jackie Glass is back in her room at the Maples after a time of quarantine and rehabilitation following an injury from a fall. So if you have a celebration you would like to share, now is the time when you can unmute yourself and speak it out. Any other celebrations?
Carol, my son-in-law is finally cleared to go back light duty to work with his back injury from the work.
Wonderful. That's Steve that we've been praying about. So I'm so glad to hear that. That's wonderful news. Good.
So as challenging as it is to get back to school, it's also just a celebration to be back teaching the kids, giving them a safe and consistent nurturing place to be, and also being able to teach about our faith, because my school is a Christian school, so we can also share our faith. And so that's a big celebration.
Thank you, Kristen. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for so many people who are ill and others who are in need of prayer. We include in that list Cher, Loretta, Steve, Ken, Chad, Doris, Amy and Jeff, who are related to one of our families, and they both had COVID. I hope they're over it by now. Brigitta, Lee, that's Tyson's sister, and Marie as well. And we've been asked for special prayers for Bonnie and Bob, and those are good friends of Jan Maya Dirks. And we should be praying today for all of the teachers and all of the students who are facing a very difficult transition, and they don't seem to know which way they're going, if it's hybrid or in person or all by virtual learning. So we certainly remember all of those people on this day. We also remember those who are in our nursing homes and in assisted living, including Bud, Jackie, and Carol. And we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and for first responders, everyone who works in the medical profession, all the essential workers, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us, for those who suffer from addictions. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face these difficult days together. And since it was on Friday, I believe, that we talked about and memorialized the terrible attack that happened on 9/11, we certainly pray for survivors of that and for all the people that suffered so much during those terrible days. So let us join together in a moment of prayer, and there will be a time of silence when you may lift up any concerns that are in your hearts. Let us pray. We praise you, gracious God, the giver of all life and sustainer of our own lives. Let us make room for you in our hearts this morning so that you may come near. In stillness now, may we know your presence. O Lord, you know us better than anyone, better than we know ourselves. What do we need today? What do we need to bring here and leave here? Fortify the places in us that are noble, compassionate, wise, and good. Enter the places in our hearts where we are empty and afraid, lonely and in doubt. Heal our wounds and dry our tears. Gather to us and to you in your transforming love. God of power and of tenderness, we pray for ourselves during the angst and fear of this terrible virus. We pray for all of our friends and neighbors, people we love, and we ask that you would hear also prayers for those whom we may not love, our opponents, our betrayers, our enemies. We pray for those who are sick and those whose names we have mentioned. We also pray for all of those who have died, who are suffering in the terrors of mental illness or addiction, who are in prison, and especially we pray for those who have no one at all to pray for them. In this moment of silence, we also lift up the names of others who are in need of your presence and who are on our minds this morning. Gracious God, draw our attention to the parts of your creation which groan in agony. We pray for the victims of the forest fires in our nation, those who have lost their homes to those fires, to hurricanes and floods. So many people are suffering, loving Creator. We hold them up now in the midst of this gathering of your children, your beautiful lands, your plants and animals, and all that has been harmed in your creation by us. And we beg your forgiveness. We pray for the victims of racial inequality, for all who are in the midst of violence and war, and all governments and world leaders. We know your love works through our hands and our voices. May we find the courage to use them increasingly for healing and peace. Holy One, we struggle to understand the depth of your love for us. Yet it is not when the world considers us successful or wise or powerful or accomplished that you love us most, but rather when we forgive each other, are generous with one another, when we are tender and kind, open, loving, and compassionate. What the world often sees as weak, you count as strong. What the world counts as foolish causes you to rejoice. May we be fools for Christ, for you, O God, our Creator. We ask for this and all of our prayers in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for today continues the story of Moses. Last week, we left you with the cliffhanger. Moses and the Israelites were stopped at the edge of the Red Sea with the army of Pharaoh closing in behind them. Now we will hear the incredible incident that became the very center of the Jewish faith, the crossing of the Red Sea. I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 31. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel, and so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. There's an old story that has made the rounds certainly in churches, but I still love it, so I love to tell my stories. It's about an 8-year-old boy who went to Sunday school for the first time, and he was telling his parents at Sunday dinner what he had learned in class that morning. And he said, boy, was it exciting. Moses organized all the Hebrews into a resistance group, and through careful planning, they broke out of Egypt. They moved as quickly as possible toward Canaan, but the Egyptians were catching up, driving jeeps and trucks. Pharaoh's army refused to quit. They tracked the Israelites with radar. When Moses and his people reached the Red Sea, all seemed lost. The water was in front of them and the scary Egyptians were just behind them. Suddenly, though, the Corps of Engineers came to the rescue by building a pontoon bridge over which all the Hebrews passed to freedom. Then just as Pharaoh's forces were about to follow, the Hebrews blew up the bridge with dynamite, saved all the people, and as a result, they lived happily ever after in the promised land. What a great story it was. Well, obviously, the youngster's mom and dad were a little bit more than stunned and concerned about their child's out-of-control imagination. So they said to him, is that really what they told you at church this morning? And he said, well, not exactly. But if I told you what they told me, you'd never believe it. Well, it's quite an unbelievable story, isn't it? And yet the Jewish faith was founded firmly in this event of release from captivity and the grace of God that was leading them to the promised land. And we should always remember that our Christian faith was founded on that very faith. Biblical scholars and others have attempted to explain the crossing of the Red Sea as a natural event. They point out that in that region, the area is flat and marshy and occasionally covered by shallow water driven in by a high tide and the wind. And when it's covered by water, the same wind can blow in and push the water aside and open a path. But I don't think this scripture wants us to ponder about the parting of the waters or really any of the stuff that was impressed by that on that child. Rather, it wants to tell us something much more wondrous. Namely, that God is at work here. The only true explanation for what took place is the presence and the power of God leading God's people to a new way of life. The really profound miracle here in the crossing of the Red Sea is God's faithfulness to Israel. How it all happened is another question, but who made it happen is what the Exodus is all about. Crossing the Red Sea is a witness to the one true God and the one that calls all of us to faith as well. Here we have Israel, almost lost and forgotten in the world at the time of this Pharaoh's reign. William Ure, who was a British journalist, is probably best remembered now for a few lines of verse. And this is what he wrote, "How odd of God to choose the Jews." These words may sound anti-Semitic, but think of the truth in this little epigram. The Jews had become slaves in Egypt. They were nobodies with no status, no nation, certainly no power. All they had was a memory of a promise to Abraham that his descendants would become a great nation from a God whose name was not ever to even supposed to be spoken aloud. Yet this God remembered. God remembered this people and his promise. The time had now come for God to fulfill that promise, to set the descendants of Abraham free and establish them as a people with respect and honor for God's name. So it was not so odd after all. In fact, think of it from a Christian perspective. For God's great plan of salvation to work through Jesus Christ, God had to first free the Israelites and establish them in their own country. Here's a story that will resonate with my generation. Now I am dating myself. When I was in high school and in college preparatory track, we were not allowed to take one of the courses I really wanted to take, which was typing. But if you were on that college track, you had no need of it. I mean, computers weren't around yet for sure. So a man is describing how one day when he said to his mother that one of the most useful courses he took in high school was indeed typing. Mind you, this was before the advent of computers, which three-year-olds seem to know how to use as soon as they're born. He said that every day he is grateful that he knows how to type. And in response to that comment, the mother said, "Well, aren't you just glad that I made you take that course?" And he said, "You made me take typing? I don't remember you asking me to take typing." He said, "Oh yeah, I remember you saying you didn't think you needed to learn to type. You thought it would be a waste of time. But I told you that you needed to know how to type so you wouldn't have to depend on someone else to do your typing. And you hated it at first, but I made you stick with it." Well, there he was congratulating himself on his own wisdom and foresight and deciding to learn typing, only to be reminded that it was not his idea at all. In fact, he had little to congratulate himself to. His typing skill was a gifted power. It was the power of someone else's care and direction that had provided him this useful and valuable skill. The same is true of our presence here in church this morning. We often congratulate ourselves for being here, but the truth is someone else cared enough about us to direct us here. We might think we get up out of our own decision to be here, but chances are it is a habit that was instilled in us by someone else. A mother tried to get her son up to go to church one Sunday, but he really didn't want to get up. And he said, "I don't want to go to church. I'm tired. I don't feel good. And nobody likes me there. Give me some really good reasons why I should go." "Well," she said, "all right, it's Sunday and you owe it to God. You'll feel better because you've gone to church. And finally, you have to go because you are the minister." Normally, our lives are not nearly as dramatic as crossing the Red Sea. For the most part, we come to church to learn about God, to speak to God, to get spiritual support to make it through a typical week, to receive insights on how to live in the image and grace of Jesus Christ. I know you don't come just for the sermon. It's the reading of scripture. It's the music. It's being a caring community, even if we are apart physically at this moment. You may not have noticed, but there is a pandemic still raging outside our doors. So say the doctors and the scientists. We might not be back to normal for a very long time. The whole western part of our nation is burning. May I be bold to suggest that this is what scientists and theologians have been saying for a long time? They've been telling us that we have not been good stewards of the wonderful creation that God has put into our hands. Dare I say that this is the result of climate change, and we need to get at it to preserve the earth for our children and grandchildren? Think of it. That must have been about how those Israelites felt with the Egyptians hot on their heels and the Red Sea directly in front of them. In the letter to the Hebrews 11:1, it says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The sad commentary is that far too many of us subscribe to the idea that seeing is believing. And whenever this position is taken, faith actually becomes weakened or even non-existent. Faith is when all traces of doubt vanish, when we give all of our worries and woes back to God. Is seeing believing, or does believing give us the ability to see God's future for us? Those Hebrews saw something that day that caused them to believe in the power of God. And as Wayne read this morning, it says in the 31st verse of that chapter, "Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians, So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. But even that is not the end of the story, is it? So stay tuned until next week, as Paul Harvey used to say, for the rest of the story. Amen.
To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So this concludes our service, and you're welcome to stay around and have a little conversation.